Well, thank y'all so much for playing. Sometimes we can take our instrumentalists for granted, can't we? They're here every service. Who remembers a time we didn't have the piano? Yep. Oh, we got one back here, always. I think you may be a little young to claim that, but we'll go with it, all right, buddy? I mean, man, they're always here, so thankful for them. Thankful to be here. We're back. Like, we were back last time for like 3 days. That didn't really count, but we're back now. We went to camp, then we were in Tulsa, watched some nieces and nephews of ours. I didn't volunteer for that job. My wife did, but I still love her. And so we had a good week. Thankful for that, but also just thankful to be back here with you and thankful for the opportunity to preach on Wednesday night and just share maybe some lessons that we've learned along the way. And so kind of this series is called Lessons Learned on Deputation. And so tonight, this is another one. Now, when I say that, as you turn to Luke 10, lessons learned, and learned means past tense, but I think we can all understand and maybe are of the understanding that a lot of times spiritual lessons are learned and then learned again and again and again. And this is one that the Lord has used, honestly, this text from my first year in Bible college over and over and over again. But the Lord reminded me, really, it was between here and Phoenix, Arizona. If you've ever driven that drive, it's awful, especially the part through New Mexico. Sorry if anybody's from that area, but it's awful. But right before we got to what's called the Texas Canyon, which is like the most beautiful canyon I've ever seen because of the name. And so the Lord just really used a drive to bring this text to mind and this thought tonight. And so let's all stand in for the reading of God's Word tonight. Luke 10, familiar passage of Scripture. I'm not going to claim to say anything new tonight, but maybe just a good reminder for all of us. So thankful for just the opportunity. Also thankful I'm still on the right mindset. If you didn't notice, Pastor, me, David, Marco in the back, and Gerald all coordinate. Did you notice? The Browns and the Blues. These new guys need to get on the same page here, but we won't get on to them tonight, okay? We'll have a staff meeting or something about that. Okay, so Luke 10, verse number 38, it says this, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray, and we'll get into it. Father, we're grateful for your word, thankful for how it can be a familiar passage of Scripture, but Lord, you can use it over and over and over again. Asking that your Spirit speaks to us tonight. Lord, help me as I preach, and Lord, help us all just to take something away that helps us get closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I am notorious for answering this question, "How are you today?" like this, busy. Anybody ever answered that question with the word busy? Okay, we got a handful of honest people. I remember one time I was running through the sanctuary. I wasn't running because that's against the rules, but I was walking quickly through the sanctuary to do something, and somebody asked me how I was doing, and I said, "I'm busy," and I just kept walking. And I remember that, and I was shaking their hand, and whenever I said that, they just grabbed it and didn't let me go. And so I was like, "Yeah, I'm really busy." And I tried to pull away, and they just held me there. So then I stood there for like 5 minutes, and we talked, because that's what you do when they don't let go of your hand. And so it was an elderly saint that is no longer with us, passed on to the Lord, but they taught me a lesson. Slow down, youngin', that's what he said, okay? But anybody in here, I think, can say that we live busy lives. Did you have a busy day today, anybody? Yeah? How about a busy week? How about a busy month? Has it been a busy month for you? Okay? Think about the last past 6 months. From January 1 of 2024 to now, would you say it's been pretty slow? Or would you say we've had a busy year so far? Yeah, we're busy, aren't we? It's the reality of the culture we live in. And oftentimes, it can be work events, extra hours at the office, a Zoom call, a school event, a sporting event, a band or choir concert. Bless you parents that go to all of those. A school trip, a parent-teacher meeting, a private coaching session, a private instrument lesson, a driving lesson, a meeting, a lunch date, a dinner date, a tea time. I threw that one in there. A doctor's appointment, an orthodontist appointment, a dentist appointment, a hair appointment, a camp, a conference, an activity, a practice. And I think we can get it. We're busy, aren't we? Those were off the top of my head. It took me 30 seconds to type that. Isn't that wild? That's a huge list. And I probably missed 10 of the things that are on your schedule for tomorrow. And then I didn't even mention church. Didn't mention the regular services that we have. I didn't mention church events. I didn't mention the conferences and the camps that we have going on. Didn't mention VBS. But it's interesting because oftentimes in our culture, busyness is a persona of the person's level of success, isn't it? Oftentimes, I mean, I've watched a video, I've read books, I've read articles about, you know, people that are really, really busy and they have a lot of influence, and whether they're a celebrity, whether they're an athlete, whoever it is, but they oftentimes they start out like this. I wake up at 3:30 in the morning. And then they name all these things that they do throughout the day and the things that fill their calendar and their schedule. And I can look at that and I can go, man, they must be really, really important to be that busy. Okay, it's quiet in here. I know it's Wednesday. Don't be mad at me already, okay? But isn't it true? Isn't it true that we can see somebody that's so busy and go, man, they don't have time for someone small like me. They have more influence. They have more status. They have all these things that man, they got things going on that I don't even need to know about or want to know about. But tonight, when we approach this text, we see one person that's very, very busy, and then one person that's sitting. And there's a comparison of the two. And I believe though we read a very familiar account from Jesus' ministry, it's going to remind us and give us some serious insight to how we are to live our lives, busy or not. And something that we all need in our lives. See, Jesus entered in the house of Martha, and when he entered in, he began to teach the people, and he sat down, and he was teaching, and he was preaching, and there were people there that were present. There were probably people entering and leaving the house as they needed to. And can you imagine? Martha's house is getting fuller and fuller and fuller, and one of the people there is Mary, Martha's sister, and she's sitting at the feet of Jesus and listened to what he had to say. Now the next verse, look at the next verse with me, verse number 40. So that's verse 38 and 39. Verse 40 says, but Martha was cumbered about, much serving. It's connecting the sentence to the verses before with the conjunction word, but. And the word but is this, it's comparing the last, what happened before and what's about to happen now and what we're about to find out. And it's connecting the two and it's saying, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, but Martha was frazzled, distracted, overoccupied. We could say Martha was what? Busy. Now, go with me in my imagination, okay? Imagine this. It's a small house. People are coming in and out. I imagine it kind of like that one night, that restaurant takeover at Chick-fil-A where we all got there 10 minutes before they closed and they kicked us out, and we all went to my house. There's like 50, 60, 70 people crammed into our home. I don't know who's there. I don't know who got a ride, but they all left and made it out alive, I think. And so we're in and out of my house, and I imagine it this way. And so I picture it that way for Martha's house. And Martha's in there, and she's trying to serve all these people. Jesus is there, the famous preacher, the famous teacher. He's there. He's breaking cultural boundaries where a rabbi is entering into a lady's home, and he's teaching. And he was invited and he accepted the invitation and he's there and he's famous, the miracle worker, the healer, the person that can perceive people's hearts. I mean, Jesus, God himself, the Savior of the world is in her home. She's trying to make it look nice. My wife wants our house to look like Disney on Ice when we come home and it's us. Have you ever done this, laid the mail on the counter to look at it in 5 minutes when you come back and then the mail's gone? And you say, where'd the mail go? And Callie, she says this to me, it's where the mail's supposed to be. You know, it's supposed to be on the counter, babe. That's where it's supposed to be. But So Martha's running around, and imagine this. People are in and out of her home. She's frazzled. She's busy. She's working through everything. She's got all these details. She's trying to get the food prepared. She's trying to get it all cleaned up. She's running about, and every time she passes the doorway to the room that Jesus is teaching in, she glances in. And she glances in, and she glances in. Maybe the third or fourth time she sees a familiar face. Her sister, sitting on the ground, listening to Jesus. And now, I have a sister, and she's been mean to me once or twice. She's wicked, I'll say it. If she watches this live stream, I love you, Courtney, but you are. So, Martha's passing the doorway, and at one point or another, she catches view of Mary. But she doesn't have time to stop and think about it. So she keeps going and she's serving, but can you imagine the thought process? And she's like, I cannot believe she's in there while I'm running around trying to figure out how to feed all these people and make all this food and make this place clean and get all these people seated and comfortable. I'm trying to find a cup that's clean for Jesus. I didn't know he was coming. I didn't know anybody. And can you imagine all of the emotions and the feelings and all of this stuff is starting to boil over and boil over until finally she walks by the door again. And we get to the rest of verse 40. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Now, that's pretty bold, isn't it? She's interrupting the teaching. I imagine it not like a whisper in the ear. If you disagree with me, that's totally fine. You know, I'm here with home folk. You know I'm dumb. And so I don't imagine it like coming into Jesus' ear and be like, can you believe Mary? I mean, she's upset. She's like, Lord, dost thou not know? Does you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, tell her, therefore, to get up and help me. Can you imagine the silence in the room when Martha yells at the Lord? Okay, none of you imagine it this way. Me and David are on the same page. Appreciate you, bro. And so, seriously, she confronts the Lord. And I imagine Jesus lets it sit in for a minute. And Jesus answered and said unto her, he's not fast with his words. He's going to respond. He's not going to react, right? And said unto her, Martha, Martha, isn't it something when someone uses your name? I don't know about you, but when someone uses, like at Starbucks, I tell them my name. They're like, what's your name for your order? Colin. And then they call Tom or they call John. It happens all the time, seriously. But when someone actually gets my name right, I'm like, hey, that's my name. And whenever I'm talking to somebody that knows me, I was on the phone with Pastor the other day. I asked him a question. He's like, you know, Colin? And I was like, that was weird. He said my name, whatever. But it catches your attention, doesn't it? Jesus is talking to Martha. He says, Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. And now I don't think she's like come off of the emotional upness yet. And I almost feel like we could insert this thought in Martha's mind. You think? And he says this in verse 42, but one thing is needful. Just one. All these things that you're doing, all this service that's going on, all the things that you are careful and anxious and worried about and troubled about, there's only one thing that is needful. And Mary, your sister, hath chosen that good part, that one thing, which shall not be taken away from her. There's a lot to verse 42. I think part of it is this, that our ability to serve and do the things that we were able to do at one point or another will be taken away, whether it's because of health, whether it's because we transition from one ministry to another. We can lose something that we can serve. We lose the ability at times. There's things that we will lose. But Jesus is reminding Martha, and through the Word of God tonight is reminding us, there's one thing that's needful, and it'll never be taken away from you if you know the Lord. And that's time spent with him. Now, this is a spiritual lesson learned on deputation for a reason. Because, and I'm not whining. I promise. I'm not. But there were times on deputation where I would use the word busy. We were traveling nonstop, loading the car, packing the suitcase, unpacking the suitcase, loading the car, unloading the car, unpacking the suitcase, packing the suitcase, loading the car, unloading the car. I hate loading and unloading the car. I hate it. It's my job, but I hate it. But we were busy. At the beginning of 2023, we did 13 mission conferences in 17 weeks. 13 out of 17 weeks, we did 13 conferences. And that drive to Phoenix is where this message, the seed, was planted. Because our first conference in January of 2023 was in Phoenix. And I knew it was a busy season coming up. I knew it was going to be crazy. We were going to be driving from Phoenix, because this is deputation for this conference, drive to Lubbock the day after the conference, drive to Dallas, be in Dallas, and then be in a conference here, there, and everywhere. And we went anywhere from Phoenix to, or I'll do this, Phoenix to Dallas, okay? And it was 13 out of 17 weeks. We were in Kansas at one point. And I just remember in the middle of that busy season, thinking and wondering, what is going on? And why did I do this to us by saying yes to all these meetings? And I remember being so busy at times that we would get to the hotel 10, 11 o'clock at night, get the kids down, know that it was going to be an early morning, and it would hit me. You got to read your Bible today. Okay, that's fine. I'm not against reading my Bible at night. There's just days where it happens. And so I would be reading, and I'd have my phone because we were in the same room with the kids or whatever. And so I'd be reading, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but I'll use this remote. And you're reading, and then you fall asleep, and you like drop it on your face. You know what I'm talking about? And so I'd be like, oh, okay. And I'd probably start the chapter over because I'm not going to remember what I'm reading. So I'm reading, and I drop it on my face again and over. So then I'd stand up out of bed, and I would sit there, and I'd get my chapter in, right? And it wasn't like I'd gone through the day without praying, but it wasn't like I took really good time to pray. So I'd say maybe a quick prayer, and then I'd go to sleep. And you know, when you're praying, when you're exhausted, what did you say, right? Praise God for his editing for us, right? But I mean, it's just over and over and over again throughout that busy time that I struggled to carve out time to be in his word and to spend time with him. I checked the box of Bible reading. I checked the box of praying. I mean, I did. But it wasn't what it was supposed to be. You know what I mean? Have you been there? And so I'm reading this passage. I'm studying this passage. And it's not about sporting events. And it's not about busy kids' schedules. And it's not about busy work schedules. This is talking specifically about service and time with Jesus. But I think it applies to a broader spectrum than just service. But it starts with our service to God. And what Martha was doing was not wrong. It wasn't wrong. It just wasn't the most important. You see, oftentimes in life that we replace the important with the urgent. Pastor taught us this, or taught me at least, I think in a staff meeting or something, that he has a quote, and I'm going to say it wrong, but he says this: other people's urgencies don't dictate our priorities. And they don't. They can't. Because if every time someone knocked on the door and asked for money, or every time someone knocked on the office door and asked for work, and we bent over backwards for them, you know what we wouldn't do? We wouldn't do the things that were priority to Bethany Baptist Church. And so other people's urgencies don't dictate our priorities, but oftentimes in our own lives, our own urgencies, right. Our own urgencies, did you hear that? Our own urgencies take away from what our life priorities are. And we take time for the urgent things, but then somehow or another put the priorities on the back burner. Whether it's a financial thing, and so then for a month or two, you stop saving for retirement and you pay for the air conditioner that went out at the house, right? And then somehow or another, something else goes out, and something else goes out, and now it's been a year and a half since you put into the retirement fund. You follow the picture here? But that's money, right? You can sell something and get money and replace it into a Roth IRA. But this is time. Time spent with your Savior. And you can ask my wife, I'm a pretty selfish person when it comes to time, because you can't get it back. You'll never get it back. The seconds are gone, and the seconds are gone, and the seconds are gone, and the seconds are gone. Pastor laid this into my brain. He said, Colin, during choir practice, don't waste people's time. And he would drill that into me all the time. Why? Those guys sitting in there, their time was valuable. And he would talk about the youth department. He would talk about services. I mean, he would talk about all these things, like, don't waste people's time. And so we get to this text, and I approach this text, and I'm reflecting on things, and I'm reflecting on my time here at Bethany, and then I'm reflecting on deputation. And can I tell you this? I failed a whole lot when it comes to this spiritual lesson learned on deputation. Oftentimes, what's next on the calendar gets more priority than time spent with the Lord in Colin Hendricks' life. Quality time spent with the Lord. I'm not talking like I missed months on months of Bible reading. That hasn't happened. I'm not talking about like I neglected a prayer life for who knows how long, and that didn't happen. But what did happen was the quality time spent with the Lord. And here's what a lack of quality time spent for the Lord breeds when you're trying to do the Lord's work: self-pity and self-focus. You look at Martha's statement to the Lord, and she's talking about herself more than anything else. And she's pointing out that other people aren't doing what she's doing, and they should be helping. There's been missions conferences where I've walked into a fellowship hall somewhere across the United States, and you can just feel the tension at the meal. It's in the fellowship hall or something. And, you know, because I'm big, goofy Colin, I walk into the kitchen and say, anything I can help you with? And, you know, when you're in the kitchen, if you can't take the heat, you should get out. And, you know, I've had ladies turn around and look at me and not say anything, but their looks communicated plenty of stuff. I'm going to walk away, you know? And there's been times where you can just observe where people are serving and they're frazzled. And they're over busy and they're over distracted and they're trying to do what they're supposed to do, but somehow or another along the way they lost sight of what was the most needful thing they needed, and that was time with the Lord. And so as I got to this text and as I got to this point and I started to think, okay, what do we want to walk away with tonight? We all have seasons of crazy. And if we don't take time to be with the Savior, with our Savior, if we don't prioritize the one thing that is needful, seasons of busy, and maybe even busy doing the Lord's work, can leave us frustrated, can leave us almost bitter. And then one day when we finally have time to pray, did you see how I said that? Finally have time to pray, it's like we outburst and we say, hey, what's going on, Lord? Am I the only one doing your work? Am I the only one trying to do what you want people to do? We're trying to reach people here and glorify you, but all I see is me. See, it's uncomfortable, isn't it? But if we're honest, we've had the thought and maybe even prayed the prayer. And we talk to the Lord and we're pretty blunt about it. I don't know. I've been there. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you're there tonight. Maybe you felt like you're just so busy lately, you haven't had a good conversation, not only with the Lord, but with maybe with your spouse or your children. Maybe you've struggled to see past yourself and the things that you're trying to do and accomplish. So how about just for the end of the sermon, we're almost done. Let's take a moment and consider some things that will help us prioritize our walk with God, okay? I've got 10 tonight. It's a different sermon for me. I usually don't do this, but I've got 10 things that have helped me, things that I've read, things that I've picked up from other people along the way. And so if you've been distracted or anxious with the cares of this life to the point of time with the Lord is put on the back burner, 10 things tonight. First, what gets scheduled gets done. And now you're saying, well, should we actually schedule a time with the Lord? Well, what gets scheduled gets done. And maybe it's not a specific time every day, but maybe it's you wake up in the morning and as you're making your cup of coffee, you have your 20, 30, 40 minutes, whatever you have, and you lay it out for this is when I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And I'm not saying you have to be up at 4:30 in the morning. If I'm up at 4:30 in the morning, there's things that are happening that take little to no thought, because if I'm reading my Bible at 4:30 in the morning, I'm not knowing what I'm reading. I'm looking at words at that point. Some of you wake up chipper and ready to go, not Colin Hendricks. The Bible says meditate there in day and night. Praise God for the night part, okay? So that was number one. Second, ask someone to keep you accountable. It's a biblical principle. Iron sharpens iron. Find a friend, ask your spouse, and tell them, you have permission to text or call me about my time with the Lord. And if I need it, call me on the carpet. You know, when you're banging iron together, Richie, is it a nice, soft feeling? No, it's hard. And it's hard. And so sometimes you got to have that iron hit you hard. I knew I'd wake you up. And maybe make sure you're accountable. And just text them before they have to text you and say, hey, I read these three chapters today. This is what spoke to me. I got a text from David just the other day that said that. All right, number three. If you struggle to pray, make a list. Make a list. We give you a prayer list every single Wednesday. It helps. Not only does it help you realize the needs of our church family, but it also just helps you make it a priority. Add to that list. Assign certain people for certain days. Text those people after you pray for them and say, hey, I prayed for you today. Doesn't have to be anything superficial. Doesn't have to be anything. Just, hey, I prayed for you. Is there anything specific I can pray for you about? I'd love to. And then you just make your list. Okay, number four. If you tend to get distracted in the mornings by your phone like Colin Hendricks, charge it in another room. And get yourself an old school alarm clock. Okay, that one went over like a lead balloon. Here we go. And if you don't want to do that, put your Bible on top of your phone at night. So when your alarm's going off, you have to grab the Word of God to turn your Bible off. We're just practical tonight. It's a simple, practical things that I have done, that I've read about, just put your Bible on top of your phone. And you can't know how convicting it is to do this. Unplug it with the hand that has the Bible. And then you look at your phone. If you have the Holy Spirit, He'll testify within you. He will. And you'll go, okay. So then you grab it. I'm telling you, put your Bible on top of your phone. Okay, number five. Have a place in your home that this is where I sit when I read my Bible and pray. This is where I sit. If I walk into my living room in the morning, Callie is going to be sitting in our big beige chair that points out the window. She's going to be sipping on a cup of coffee that has way too much cream in it. She's going to be reading her Bible, or she's going to be looking like she's aimlessly staring out the window. But I know when she's doing that, she's praying. That's where she sits. That's where she does her Bible reading. Her phone's across the room. I don't know where she puts it, but she's reading the Bible, and she's praying, and she sits in that chair. All right, number six, if you struggle to pray on a regular basis and you think, okay, well, there's something that I want to pray about. There's something that I want to by faith be praying about. I have a reminder that goes off at 4:45 every day. Every single day at 4:45 p.m., because I already told you I'm not a morning person, 4:45 p.m. that says, pray for Grandma and Grandpa Goalie. You don't know who they are, but they're Grandma and Grandpa Goalie, and they need to be saved. And so most days, I'm not going to say every day, but most days when that reminder crosses my phone, I pray for Grandma and Grandpa Goalie. And I pray for them to get saved and that they look at our lives and it's becoming of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they will know that living a life for the Lord is the best life they could live. Okay, number seven, we're on prayer still. Get yourself a prayer journal. In one column, on the left column, write down your prayers and the things that you're asking the Lord to do. I'd recommend writing the date that you started to pray about it. And then on the right column, write when it gets answered. And write when it gets answered. Because whenever you get to see the Lord and you write the date of when you prayed and when it got answered and when you prayed and when it got answered, it's amazing. You get to the end of that prayer journal and you're like, Oh, I remember when God did this, and I remember when God did this, I remember when God did this. Get yourself a prayer journal. Okay, we're moving on. Number 8. Write prayer requests. This one's weird, but I've done it. Or people that you're praying for on your bathroom mirror. Take like an Expo marker, like a dry erase marker, and write names of people in the top right corner. You're going to stare at that mirror while you brush your teeth. Every normal human being brushes their teeth staring at the mirror. And if you don't, well, maybe you're normal and I'm not. But what I'm doing, I'm just standing there in the mirror, brushing my teeth. And I at times in my ministry, especially in the youth department in the early days, had a list of teen boys, 6 or 7 of them, all right there in the top right of my mirror. And I'd write them right there and I would just pray. And I'd talk to the Lord and ask him to do something while I'm brushing my teeth. Not only is it good hygiene, but you get some prayer time in. Okay, y'all, come on now. That was like a home run joke, all right? All right, here we go. Number 9, okay? Memorize scripture. If you're going to memorize it, you have to spend time reading it. And if you're going to spend time reading it, that's how you hear from the Lord. So put it up in your home. Put it on the fridge. Put it in a picture frame. Put it on a sign. I mean, put it in a post-it note in your car. Whatever you need to do. My mom wrote scripture on the inside of the bill of a baseball cap that I had for a season that I was really struggling because I couldn't hit the ball. And it was just something that my mom did. And it was super helpful for me. Philippians 4:13. I mean, it's just simple things like that. That my mom just did that growing up. She'd write memory verses all over the place. You go into her bathroom to this day, it's covered in post-it notes everywhere with things that she's heard, things that she's read, scriptures, all this. All right, these are all going over great. So number 10, okay? Set your phone up. Now this one's a little bit deeper, but set your phone up to allow texting and calling only until a certain point during the day. Where you can't get notifications from Fox Sports, you can't get Sports Center, da 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 da. You can't get that. No Fox News, no Newsmax, no CNN. That was a good one too. Come on. All right. Sorry, David likes MSNBC. Sorry. And so, but set it up to where you can't get any notifications until after lunch, or after you get off work. And just set it up to where you can open up the Word of God on your phone, or you only get texts and you only get calls. And these are just a handful of practical ways that have helped me in the past prioritize and develop the habit of spending focused time with the Lord, trying to know Him, trying to develop a walk with Him. And there's, I mean, oftentimes we can hear this from people that maybe come through, or I've said it even to the teenagers, is where it's like, okay, you need to develop a walk with God. And you're like, I mean, I don't know. I've been this way. How? What do you do? Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer with Him. And if it just needs to be something practical where you just on a regular basis have your Bible on top of your phone. I mean, maybe you want to read at night. I forgot to mention this. I've done this one as well. Put your Bible on your pillow. I mean, just place it on purpose. Put it where you're going to bump into the Word of God before you get distracted with the days. And there's a quote, I read this from a commentary. It says, the lesson to be learned from this true story is that we must choose to do the best things and not be overly concerned about ourselves or self-pity. There's nothing wrong with serving, but we must first sit at the feet of Jesus and spend time with Him. None of us want to get to the end of our life. None of us want to get to the end of our life and look back at the life that we've developed and the generations of our family that are going to be growing up if we're near our end. And you're there in your deathbed and you look around the hospital room. None of us want to sit down, be there with our family and say, I scrolled on my phone too much. Nobody wants to have that regret. Nobody wants to have the regret, I worked a whole lot. I wish I would have spent more time with my kids or with my grandkids. Nobody wants to have those regrets. But we all want to pass on how amazing our God and our Savior is to the next generation. And if you're going to do that, you have to spend time with Him. Because when you prioritize the most important, the most needful thing that you and I have in this life, the time we spend at the feet of Jesus, can I tell you when you prioritize that? It's amazing how that investment of time then moves into our jobs and moves into our finances and moves into our parenting and being a grown child, helping and honoring our adult and elderly parents. You follow me here? If we invest the time to sit at the feet of Jesus, it's amazing how that time invested is then multiplied into every area of our life. But we have to invest the time. We have to invest the time at the feet of Jesus. And then you'll get to see him work. And you'll get to see him do amazing things. And it may just start out by you putting your Bible on top of your phone. And you waking up in the morning and opening it up and just reading it. And it may start out with names on a bathroom mirror. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is for you. But tonight, have you been prioritizing maybe the less important? And you need to reset your course and prioritize the most important. Because we got to keep first things first. First things first. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word, thankful for how your word speaks to us and the reminders that it can give.